CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. We are live on this Friday morning. We've got lots going on, lots to talk about, things to do, people to see, places to go, and the weekend ahead of us, which is always good news. I hope you've got some fun plans for the weekend. I know that your stories cannot compare with me clearing out all the rubbish from my electronics at home. I know that you, no matter how great your life is at the moment, it could not be greater than the excitement I feel about going to my drawers and cupboards and seeing that I've thrown out all that crap. Oh, this stuff just, it's amazing how, I think it must have been some kind of reward system I set up in my mind when I was a kid. It must be that. Because being tidy and organized gives me more of a thrill than partying with my friends. Than signing a big deal at work. It's just amazing. It's like this weird feedback loop that I've created for myself, which I just love. I love organization and tidiness. I've definitely got a problem. Okay, so somebody asked right up front. Let's get this out of the way because people are not paying attention. Where is Ben this morning? Yes, Ben is away this week. He will be back next week, but don't panic. It's not as if there's a problem. He's just busy. A lot of other people are asking about Leanne's health problems. Please, let's not go down that road. She'll be back in a moment. She's just had to take 17 different pills, and then she will be back with us and get her corns taken off with an angle grinder. But, you know, once she's had that done, she's terrific. Unfortunately, these things have to happen on a Friday, and that's today. That's why she's busy right at the moment, but she'll be here in a sec. All right. So, I don't know when does this load shedding go back to normal? Does anybody know? When do we go back to like normal? When do we go back to like only one or two times a day instead of eight? When does that happen? Does anybody?
We are ready.
What?
We are ready.
What do you mean?
It's getting better.
Oh, bullshit. Tell me what the schedule is in your area. I don't have that app.
Well, Stage three seems to be back, but for stage some three. Reason, yesterday I had a full working hours day without any load shedding.
Ooh,
it was
lucky
absolutely
you.
Amazing.
Wow, you must have really thought you'd won the lottery. You know, it's small things like that that make South Africans happy.
Yeah, people were like, can we have a meeting? No, I'm catching up on all my work during no load shedding. Yeah, no, you're right. It's still stage three until tomorrow.
Carl says, I'd rather hear like and subscribe than anything about air fryers. Fair enough. Deal. All right, next time that dreaded word. Let's do what they do in Harry Potter with Voldemort. No one is allowed to say the word air fryer, especially when LeBung is on the show. And if you do, then I've got to mention like and subscribe. So that's how we'll punish ourselves. There is no end to load shedding, says Corona's Boring. It's like an Ouroboros.
What's an Ouroboros?
It's a it's a snake that's eating its own tail. So it just carries on. But I'm pretty sure that's not exactly the word, Ouroboros. It is. Yes, it's an ancient symbol of a serpent or dragon eating its own tail. It's an Ouroboros. O-U. That's the only part you got wrong, but you're right. It's an Ouroboros. What a great word.
Even the name sounds like it's eating itself.
Yeah, I thought I had that
Ouroboros,
right. I just had to check.
Ouroboros.
I had to look it up to make sure I wasn't confused. An Ouroboros. But isn't that terrific? That is what load shedding is like. That's the comment. The comment of the day goes to Corona's Boring, the Ouroboros. That's so great. Elon is God says we don't have load shedding this weekend. Lucky you.
Oh.
Lol, somebody's a Karen. Oh, Leanne, while you were still taking your handful of pills, I was talking about how I do, you know, and this is, I was saying, no happiness that you have planned for this weekend can compare with my happiness, knowing that I've still got stuff to tidy up and organize, and I've already tidied up and organized some stuff. I've definitely got a problem. It's not OCD, it's something else. I gave myself massive points as a child, obviously, for when I tidied up. I obviously thought this was a heroic and brilliant thing, because in my mind, there is no better way to spend your time than to organize and tidy. Crazy, right?
I do enjoy it.
You enjoy it too, so you understand.
I use the insides. Yeah. I use the insides of toilet rolls to organize all of my cables, and then I label those.
The insides of toilet roll. You mean the little cardboard thing in the middle?
Yeah, and those you can stack alongside and then label them, which is
You labeled them too. You are a Hausfrau, like very few, although Congo Chris is calling me the Hausfrau. Gareth the Hausfrau.
You do have a label maker, right?
Like one of those, remember those old ones that used to punch the letters into a strip? Yeah. But I've never used it. It's such a stupid old
school. You get newer ones where you can kind of type it in and then it prints it.
No, but as.
But I think you should get that.
If you have a printer and stickers, it's even better.
No, you must get a label maker. So much easier.
You know, I don't know when this show turned into two old Hausfraus, like comparing notes, without Marie Kondo, but isn't this exciting? What is your favorite channel on YouTube, Gareth? Oh, it's the one where people have like home crafts that organize things, and they put their pantry into certain Tupperwares. Their whole pantry is organized in Tupperwares. Woo! This is what my life has become. It's unbelievable. Yep. Marty says, well done, Gareth. Gold star, my boy. Oh, God. I know.
But we were conditioned that way. We would get gold stars if we tidied our rooms.
And, I know. You know. I'm still living that way. I'm telling you, it wasn't really even my parents. My mom's a bit OCD. She likes organizing too. She's also hugely into like lists and all that kind of shit. But I was never punished if things were dirty and untidy, because both my brother and sister aren't as hardcore as I am about this stuff. And I also didn't get like rewards if I kept things tidy. It's a totally Gareth thing. It's something I imposed on myself, and now I can't get away from it.
Nothing wrong with it.
No. I'm sure you guys had domestic workers though, says Ethan. I don't know if that helped, because I was always such a tidy kid that I preferred to do it all myself. And I don't, the domestic worker had nothing to do with the OCD part of me either. Because the organization comes, I mean, it's like, so this drawer is full of like pencils and pens and crap. And it's all organized in these little, you know. Mm-hmm. I love that though, because when I'm looking for something, I can find it straight away. And if someone's gone through if someone's fiddled in there, you know, if someone's put their grubby paws into my drawer, then I know immediately. I can tell if someone's been in there.
Yeah.
You Ouroboros. I do love that. Remember, everyone on this planet is a gold star winner. We all won that sperm race. Ah, Steve. That's nice to make us all feel
Thanks,
good
Steve.
On a Friday. Isn't that great? Congo Chris says, this is an insight into the future. Leanne and Gareth at the retirement village moaning about cuck and talking about how much they enjoy tidying. Oh, yes. No, aren't you lucky to get a preview? Aren't you lucky to get a little preview of us at the old age home one day? As you haven't
you
said
knew hello. We'd get here soon enough.
You haven't said hello to little Alice for a long time, so here she is.
Hi, little Alice. But look how big she's getting.
I know. And she demanded to be lifted up and put on my lap now because she doesn't like the load shedding and she's cold. Alice, say hello.
Pretty little girl.
She's so sweet, man. Ernest. She's very naughty, though. She shat in the house on, what was it, Monday?
Bound to happen.
Yeah, but like it was a liquid, not a particularly fun one to clean. Oh, no, it was not fun to clean up. It was really painful.
Were you feeding
irritating.
Her smoked oysters in cod liver oil?
That is the most disgusting. No. What is wrong with you? Smoked oysters and cod liver oil. If I had a weak stomach, I'd be throwing up.
I went to this like Christmas carol evening thing in the village when I lived in McGregor.
Ugh.
And you could bring your own deck chairs and your picnic baskets.
Yeah.
And I was sitting next to this crazy old lady who lived in the village, and she brought with her a tin of smoked oysters, you know, that you peel open.
Oh.
And she ate all the oysters, and there was a staffy roaming around, and she left the tin on the floor for the staffy to drink. Can you imagine what that poor dog's turds were like the next day?
Wow, must have been mostly see-through.
Oh,
how disgusting. God. What is the worst smell? Oh, I mean, besides Alice. Besides farts, in terms of food.
Cat poo.
No, food. What food can you just not handle? And I'm not saying like really bizarre, exotic stuff. I'm not talking about tripe or, you know, those funny fruits that they grow in the East. I'm talking about stuff that we all have in our houses. What's the thing that you can't stand the smell of?
I was going to say tripe and breadfruit, but now you've...
I've ruined both of those for you.
Excluded those. Well, there's that, and not exotic. I was going to say there's that tinned fish you get in Norway.
Oh, the surströmming.
They even have challenge. Yeah. But listen, even something like broccoli in the microwave has a kind of hits you, makes your eyes water.
There's a lot of fish that I don't like the smell of. Hey, tuna's sometimes touch and go, but sardines are gross. That smell. Do you remember Red Row, the fish paste?
Oh yes. My uncle used to come downstairs in the morning when we were on holiday, and if we were making fish paste on toast, he'd walk down going, ah. Docks on toast.
Oh, sis.
It just smells like the docks.
Yeah, it's just a horrible, horrible smell. I can't stand the smell of pilchards, sardines.
Yeah, there's something. I tried out when they first came out those haddock pieces that come in a plastic seal and yes. You steam them in the microwave.
Yes.
And I'd completely overdone them and left them in there.
Oh, no.
Came back to. Just a piece of small black something in the bag.
Oh, no.
And the haddock smell had filtered through the microwave.
Oh, you never get that out.
I never got rid of that smell, that yeah. Burnt fish smell.
Oh, you have to throw away the microwave. That's horrible.
Yeah, I did the whole lemon and water inside and baked the lemon.
You see, that's another Hausfrau tip. The lemon in the water, the vinegar, the bicarbonate of soda. That's the shit that Leanne and I love. We can't get enough of that cleaning shit.
We'll keep it coming.
People who ate Lucky Strike deserve to be thrown in a volcano. That stuff is fucking gross, says Congo Chris. Lucky Strike.
Not Lucky Strike, Lucky Star.
Lucky Star, yeah. Lucky Strike was a cigarette brand, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, still is.
Tallulah says, sardines are excellent for iron. Yeah, well, then you know what I'll do? I'll make up the iron I don't get from the sardines with, I don't know, green peppers and other shit. There's lots of stuff that has iron in it. You don't need to eat those. Horrible.
Spinach.
Beth says, I hate the smell of pork cooking. It's touch and go, but bacon, come on. The greatest smell known to man.
Ooh.
Bacon or someone who really, you know, we talked about how like, bread machines are so stupid, but if you can bake bread in the oven, oh, that smells just so nice. That's one of those smells that it's never too much. You know, if you've ever been into a bakery, oh, it's such a great smell. That is the kind of smell that just makes me feel like I'm at home. And I don't cook bread and I don't know how to bake bread and I don't know how to do any of that stuff, but I love that smell.
You can put it in your air fryer.
Yes, exactly.
Like and subscribe.
Like and subscribe. You're not allowed to say that word. The smell when someone is boiling bones. My stomach's already turning, says Jared. Ew, who boils bones?
If you're making stock, you do.
What have you been working with a witch from Hansel and Gretel? What kind of horror? What? Who's boiling bone in a cauldron outside at a fire? Boil the bones. Ugh. Disgusting. Before you use your new, don't say the word, Gareth, the tray that catches the oil, which
line
is called
it.
The bottom, you must line it with wax paper. It's easier to clean. Oh, please. You know what? I'm going to have to figure this thing out from top to bottom. But thank you. That's probably good advice. I mean, I'll probably use it 3 times and then I'll throw it away like all the other crap in my life. And some of my ex-girlfriends. The worst is smelling a braai, and you're not the one braaiing.
Ooh.
Oh,
so that happened.
Such a good smell.
Oh, it happened over the weekend. I got home, I think it was on Sunday, around like 3-4 in the afternoon, and I was like, something smells good. I went outside, and my neighbors were, you know when you just, you can tell it's like nice stuff too. It's like lamb chops and that kind of thing. Like, Luckily, I wasn't really hungry, but that is never a bad smell. Never.
Oh, and it just comes with a good weekend feeling, a friend's vibe, a rugby or football thing, yeah. Beer.
Hey, there's...
And when they have them outside, rugby, you know, spa or builder's warehouse.
Yeah, there's rugby this weekend again, as I understand it, on Saturday. Not that I would know who's playing or where it is or anything. It was in Bloemfontein last weekend and at Loftus the weekend before. But don't ask me where the next one is. So if somebody knows, then we can share that information. But we are going to talk to Jesse Clegg just now and to Zolani Mahola, who are both going to be performing at an amazing tribute show to Johnny Clegg that's happening on Sunday, the 17th of July. That's this coming Sunday. So if you need something to do this weekend, this is the one. It's at Emerentia Botanical Gardens from 11 until 6 in the evening. And there are some amazing acts. And the reason I want to talk about this with Jesse, because we all need a concert in our lives, right? Don't we, Leanne? Don't you want to go and see live music?
Yeah, speaking of Bri's and things like that, that whole vibe.
So we spoke to Jesse not so long ago, of course, they've been planning this concert for some time. Hey, Jesse, how you doing?
Hey, man, how you doing?
Nice to see you.
Yeah, good to see you. I feel like I'm a regular.
Well, I mean, it hasn't been that long since we last saw you, but this is a really good excuse to chat to you, and I'm so glad the concert's going ahead this Sunday. We've been desperate for live entertainment, man, and this is a good one because there's so many artists pitching up. So just bought tickets already, feel like they need to get on the internet and buy them from CompuTicket now.
Okay, so basically...
No pressure. No pressure first thing in the morning.
It's a 3-year process, man. Like, we've had to postpone the show 3 times, and it's finally happening. We postponed because of COVID, obviously, but we really wanted to... When it happened, we wanted it to be a big thing, a really special thing, and, you know, we've made a conscious decision to make it South African artists only.
Right.
This was a place that inspired my dad, that birthed him, that connected him to his cultural and musical influence. The lineup is a combination of current artists as well as some very special legacy acts that haven't played in many years, like Elemental and Bright Blue and Evoid.
I cannot believe it. You're getting they're flying back to South Africa especially to be at the concert on Sunday. That's phenomenal.
Yeah. The artists that are flying, they're flying in from all over the world, man. And, you know, awesome. Then there's also current artists like Zolani and Francois van Cooke, mm-hmm. Kurt Darren, Twitter Gospel Choir, Just Ginger, Ross Learmonth, Karen Zoid, awesome. Arno Carstens, Madozi, all the legends. And, you know, the thing that we really wanted to do was to just capture this moment in South African music, as well as that moment when my dad was coming up. You know, when my dad was starting out as a musician, it was a very interesting and pertinent time in the South African music industry.
Yeah.
And for the first time, there was this interesting overlap between music and activism and political influence.
Absolutely.
And artists are becoming much more conscious about that. And some of these bands on the show were doing that at the same time as him, and also found success and had some impact. Sipo Hotsticks, Mabusa, I mean, Burnout was one of the first crossover hits ever on South African radio. So it's a really special event. All these artists are coming together from all over the world. It's going to be a combination of their greatest hits. There's going to be collaborations. There's going to be covers of my dad's songs. Hey, Zolani.
Hey, Jesse.
Zolani's not like doing some traditional ritual somewhere in the bush. She's actually just, she's just got load shedding going on. So if anybody was wondering.
I'm doing my best to light it up, Gareth.
No, you look magic. You still look better than all of us, even though I'm also in the dark, but I've got this one little ring light, which is making me look like I'm sitting at a fire. But you look very cozy and warm there, Zolani. We were just going through. We were just going through the lineup for Sunday. It's absolutely incredible. I mean, Jesse, I know that you must be a little bit over like the admin around this thing now, because as you said, you postponed it a couple of times. It's been very annoying to kind of eventually get things going. But when you look at this lineup and the fact that you've got all of these brilliant people performing in one afternoon, And I'm sure it's going to be just the most fun because all of us are so starved for entertainment as well. I mean, the last 2 years, we've been sitting on our hands waiting for something to happen. No one wants to do anything virtually anymore. We are craving human company. We're craving actual performances by live musicians on a stage. It's going to be fantastic. Zelani, you excited?
Jeepers, I'm more than excited, Gareth.
Nice.
Yeah, it's going to be excellent.
It's nice to see you.
I mean, it's such good company.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's amazing company.
So first of all, I mean, how have you been and what have you been up to during these last couple of months? Because, I mean, we caught up at some point during lockdown, but it's been a while.
How I've been is a question of... Yes. No, I've been good. Sorry, my load shedding might be sticking
out a bit. We're good.
But, good. Yeah, I mean, how I've been is a question I'm not really answering, Gareth, at the moment.
Uh-oh.
how I am is good.
Oh, well, that's decent news.
It's decent, hey? It's decent, and I'm going with that. And I'm really excited to be I'm really excited to be playing music, you know, again. You know, as you say, you know, we're all so starved of live music, you know, and so this show is particularly special to honor the legend that was and is Johnny Clegg with so many incredible artists, you know, from across the spectrum of music royalty. It's really, really wonderful. I'm excited.
Well, I mean, you're part of that. And Jesse, it's incredible how you've managed to corral all these people together and from... You know, as you say, your dad, his career was just at such a pivotal time in South African history. It really was about more than the music, even though the music was at the heart and soul of all of this. Some of these people, these names, Bright Blue, E-Void, I mean, I haven't heard these bands' names since I was a kid. So it must have been kind of daunting to even approach them. And I'm sure that you had a great reception from them, and they were like, oh, sure, let's do this. But to wrangle that, to actually make it happen, that's quite an achievement.
Yeah, well, thank you, man. I mean, I have to give huge respect to our manager, to the family's manager, and my manager, Roddy Quinn.
Yeah, he's
amazing. Who is just absolute legend and pulled it all together. But I think that more than anything, it's not a testament to our organizational skills. It's a testament to my father and the legacy and respect that these artists had for him. And I think that for us, it's such an incredible honor and a blessing that, you know, he's still with us and his legacy lives on. And all these artists have come around to support us. And we just feel very grateful that we can remember him in this way, but also carry his message forward. It's a really special thing, and it's an incredible blessing.
Zelani, just for you, because you mentioned earlier that, you know, like so many South African artists, you take some inspiration from Johnny and his story and the fact that he was really one of the first major acts from South Africa to go international and also to take our indigenous music and dance and so much of his own inspiration and his roots in, you know, Zulu culture and in the culture of the hostels and all of that stuff. What does it mean to you? Because we haven't really spoken. I don't think you and I have really spoken about how you feel about Johnny, for example. Do you want to tell us?
sure. I mean, how do I feel about Johnny? I mean, fierce. South African, like one of the first, certainly white men, you know, that really like kind of seemed and spoke to me at a level of like kind of like I am part of, like he is part of, and I am part of, you know, and kind of the sense of like I feel like I want to say. There was a big sense of like othering, obviously, between the races, you know. And I'm a little bit older than Jesse, but like I grew up in the 80s, and it was still very palpable, you know. And like, so to have this white man kind of say, this is also me, you know, and like kind of, it's not really validating. It's not a validating thing, but it's something akin to that, you know, something to say that's like, you know, there is appreciation here and there is gold there, you know? And so for me, it was a very important symbol growing up to kind of say to me, you know, just say that I belong.
And with Johnny, it was never a gimmick. It was always something he never put on. Yeah.
And that's the thing that shone through. And I think that, you know, all these years on, when I started making music, and kind of getting into these eclectic multicultural settings, it was a natural thing because of Johnny Clegg and because of artists like Johnny Clegg. So I was able to kind of be a part of a chain that was pre-existing that hadn't really been that much before. So it means a great deal.
Has Zolani asked for a special trailer and like she wants these kinds of flowers and not those, and she wants like a little bowl with rascals in it, but all the green ones must be taken out. Is she being like that on this?
She's got her own whole backstage sector that's just getting with like amusement park rides and
well she's very important. You treat her properly, Jessie Clegg.
You have to have her.
Yeah, exactly.
We did everything. We need her.
She's a national treasure. If you don't treat her properly, I'm coming backstage to sort it out, all right? I'm her new manager. Listen.
No, I'm excited, man. And also, I mean, you mentioned bands like E-Void and Bright Blue, and that's a part of that.
Wow.
It's a part of that chain, you know? It's a part of that, the tapestry of South African music, you know, like,
yes.
so many young people today, they don't know about those bands, and yet they made such an incredible mark on the South African music scene. So for me, the idea of seeing this array of musos, you know, that really formed the tapestry of our becoming as South Africans is really, it's very, very exciting. So I'm excited for the audience, and I'm excited for myself to be a part of it.
No, it's amazing. Listen, I'm not going to talk too long about this. People have to go and experience it. And Zolani and Jesse, I'm so glad you guys could wake up early. I know musicians and early mornings are not the best of friends. So to both of you, we will see you on Sunday. I'm very, very excited about this. I will let everybody know where you can get tickets, CompuTicket and Ticket Pro. Make sure you're there at Emerentia. It's going to be amazing. And a little bit of blast from the past, too, with some of these other artists who've flown in especially for this. But the Johnny Clegg Band, Jesse Clegg, they'll be performing. The one who sings, the great Zolani Mahola, who is with us this morning. And so many others. Karen Zoid, Sipo Hotsticks Mabuse. We've got Just Ginger. We've got the Soweto Gospel Choir. Johnny's lifetime friend, Sipo Mtrunu. And so many more. So make sure you do not miss this. It's this coming Sunday. After a couple of delays and fucking COVID and all of this nonsense, now we can get out there and watch some music. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks so much, guys. Have an awesome day.
Thank you, man.
Thanks, Zolani. Thanks, Jesse. Cheers. Bye-bye, guys. Aren't they cool? Aren't they cool?
Cool?
Yeah, très cool.
Yeah.
Mm. A lot of people...
I was just thinking how it would probably... I'm seriously thinking of going, and you know, you know what an introvert I am.
Oh, yeah. You've become... you never used to be. You become this old maid.
But it's an age thing as well. Mm-mm. And then I thought the types of people who appreciate those bands and those music are my age.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, you could definitely get some action.
I wouldn't have to. No, man, I wasn't thinking about that.
Come on, ass. Why not? Go along and get some action.
Cis man.
No, not cis man. This is the... Stop thinking you're old in your head. Go and get some action. There's lots of potential talent for you. Many of your old ex-boyfriends will be there with their new wives.
Oh, no.
Yes.
That's what scares me the most.
And so many of your ex-husbands will be there as well. And they'll want to reconnect with you again. They'll want to relive the past. Oh, yes, Leanne. Go on. Don't be so closed-minded.
No, I'd have to go in disguise if that were the thing, especially because we won't be wearing masks.
Well, I mean, so Siobhan says, and I'm so glad that she brought this up. I hadn't been to a live concert in years, managed to get to Marks Park for AHA in February 20. It was literally days before lockdown. That experience filled me to the brim, the best start to COVID. I was there, Siobhan. I went to that show. I went with 15 of my friends. We had the best time. One of them, Liesl, flew up from KZN. Two others, a married couple who I love, I haven't seen for a long time, they flew up to be there. We had such fun. It was so great. And I must tell you, like, even an old band like AHA, they still kick ass and take notes. And I don't know that there are many artists that I would want to go and see live anymore. There's still a couple. There's still obviously some that you would never get sick of. But I'll tell you what, if you go to a great concert, it does fill you up. I'm so glad you brought up that one, because that was literally 3-4 days before we went into lockdown. And it was so great. Parallel Parking says, on stage, backstage, and on the road with the 80s bands was possibly the only purely non-racial environment in South Africa at the time. That's what made it so special for all involved. That's absolutely right. And you can actually read about those stories, those behind-the-scenes stories, in the Johnny Clegg book. Carl says, Johnny made me proud to be South African. Eddie and the Bats. Now, I was at John Burks' funeral a couple of weeks ago, and I saw Eddie Eckstein. Remember Eddie Eckstein? Mm-hmm. Turn on the telly. Remember Eddie Eckstein?
He and my biological father used to do stand-up comedy together.
Oh, wow. Okay. Now we're going back
in
time.
And my father's name is Eddie as well. Mm. So it was the two Eddies.
Eddie and Eddie. That's great. Tidying up. You, me, both, Gareth, except I'm super disappointed you bought an air fryer. Like and subscribe. Like and subscribe. Like and subscribe.
Like and subscribe.
That's what we're going to do to remind me. Yeah. Promise you, every time that comes up, we'll have to do that. I miss Marie Fredriksson, says Vitzako. Okay, well, the last time she was out here with Roxette, it was kind of sad. She was in a wheelchair, and she was really, really on death's door. But, I mean, you know, some of these artists, and we heard a promo for that 80s show, which is on today. They've been talking to some amazing artists who are still going strong. It does blow my mind that Rod Stewart and the Rolling Stones are still out there doing their thing. I actually put up a picture on my Instagram the other day of Paul McCartney and Bruce Springsteen backstage at the Glastonbury Festival. And I thought, wow. And these guys don't look too bad, hey? I mean, Paul's what, 80? Paul McCartney? Must be 80 years old.
Yeah, I mean, considering the times that they lived through and the real rocker stages, I mean, Paul McCartney, not so much. He wasn't that sort of guy, but you know, the Rolling Stones, and
Paul wasn't
how they've come out the other end, I don't know.
Paul wasn't boring, hey? Paul had some fun, trust me. He might have been married to that hippie Linda for a long time, and then after that he had that terrible Heather Mills. Do you remember Heather Mills? She's just completely disappeared, the one with the one leg.
Mm-hmm.
Remember her?
Do you remember?
Remember
she did Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, sure.
No, she did.
Do you remember when we used to have that sound effect that whenever we talked about Heather Mills, it went dunk, 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 like she was dragging her one leg behind her the whole time.
Really peace.
Didn't Paul McCartney have to pay her a whole lot of money just to go away?
Yes, I think so, when they got divorced, yeah.
What a story. Unbelievable. When Johnny Clegg sang December Rains at that farewell concert in London, the emotion was in his voice. The part where he says, where did my life go? Tears. Well, I was lucky enough to go to a concert that he did, one of the last concerts he did here in Johannesburg. It may even have been the last one, where he had, again, a whole bunch of his friends with him. Jesse also performed. It was at the Dome. It's probably one of the last times the Dome was used for a concert as well, if I think about it. And I was there, and my friend Robin was there as well with her parents. And, you know, it was nice seeing kind of the older generations watching him with tears in their eyes. But all of that music, just it goes across 3-4 generations of South Africans. And it's just, it's power, man. So I totally get what you mean there, MM. Paul introduced the Beatles to all of their drugs. Don't forget that. That's right, Parallel Parking. Paul got them onto the drugs.
Really?
Drugs. Yeah. Paul, where you going? Going down to the shop? No, I'm just going to go and get some drugs from my dealer.
Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, LSD, right?
Yeah. And then they went and met that Maharishi, or whatever his name was. That fucking lunatic in India who, like, got them all meditating 18 times a day and going Hare, Hare, Rama, Hare, Krishna, all of that stuff. But that guy, affected their music positively as well, not just negative, like, in terms of their becoming reclusive and weird. I mean, I don't think George Harrison ever really recovered from all that Rama, Rama, Hare, Rama, Hare, Hare, Krishna stuff. He never got over it. I mean, even in much later songs, he was still doing it as part of the, like, lyrics. But they were, I mean, those people were insane and so much fun. And I always think genius and insane live on the same street. I've told you that before. And with the Beatles, it's true. Rod Stewart has to keep working because he keeps making children, like Elon's dad. Well,
like Elon himself.
Or like Elon. He's got like seven sprogs running around. I saw an interview with Rod Stewart the other day, and he's now, he doesn't talk about all the girlfriends he had, but Jesus, did Rod Stewart go through some hot women in his time? He tore it up.
Yeah, considering he's not an oil painting.
He's hideous. With that funny witch hair and like that voice of it. Can you tell me what you mean to me? You know, he's not, he's...
he's like an old lady.
He lucked out. Something, the gods are on Rod Stewart's side. First of all, he's lasted as long as he has. He's never got fat. He looks exactly like he did 40 years ago. I mean, he wasn't that great looking even back then. He has so much poontang on tap whenever he, I think he's married now and he's like settled down. I mean, thank God it had to happen eventually. But in his time, Rod Stewart was a coxman of the highest order, right? Listen, and the songs.
He did the most.
The songs. That
he did
guy,
the most for of himself that he could, right? Mm. I mean, if you take
Hell
him
yeah.
and put him in some post office in England working there.
Yeah.
He would never have scored.
Oh, God,
but
no.
He sold himself as like a sex god.
Listen, if Rod Stewart could have had the life that he's had, the rest of us really shouldn't complain about existing on Earth at the same time as him. Like, you should be on your knees thanking God that you're alive at the same time as Rod Stewart. Because to witness someone who looks like that, who sounds like that, who's lived as long as that, and to just marvel at this guy's incredible life. Huh? It's really something. Half of this comment section is probably Steve Hoffmeyer love children. We just don't talk about that enough. That's probably true. I wonder how many people who are listening to us are actually children of Steve Hoffmeyer in the 80s. There were a lot of them. There were a lot. So Vyasan, yes, points out that last week when Ben and I had a conversation about all these great, you know, Julio Iglesias and Tom Jones, we didn't mention Rod Stewart, but he deserves a mention. I actually, where was I the other day where Rod Stewart started playing in the background? I think I was at a restaurant on Monday, and they started playing that. And it reminded me of how lucky Rod Stewart is. He had that song that goes, "Some guys have all the luck." You know that one? And I was like, Jesus, you got some cheek singing that song, Rod Stewart. You have all the luck. Some guys have all the fame. Some guys get all the breaks. Some guys do nothing but complain. You know that song, right? What a great song. It's actually a terrific song. I'm going to listen to it after the show this morning. Rod Stewart could have played professional football too. The man is loaded with talent. Oh, that he is. He's amazing. You know what? Rod Stewart probably wakes up in the morning with aches and pains. You never hear it from him. He's not complaining. He doesn't sit around and moan about his life. Oh, you know, I should have been better looking. I shouldn't have been English. I should have been American. Oh, I could have made more money here or there. He never moans. That guy's just, he gets on with it. He's an inspiration. God bless you, Rod Stewart. Leanne, if you had to have sex with an old rock star, who would it be? Come on. I know you've got a short list. I know you have a fantasy fuck list somewhere on your phone.
I still have a lot of love for Steve Tyler.
Yeah, from Aerosmith. But have you seen, he looks like, he does look like a gran now, though.
He does now.
I mean, he's had a lot of plastic surgery here. Woo!
Yeah.
A lot. Yeah. His daughter, Liv Tyler, is still super, super attractive. Steve Tyler looks like a Karen. He looks like those grannies. Let me find you a picture of who you said you would put on your fantasy list. All right.
For me, his personality was revealed during American Idol when he was a judge. And he's actually just such a nice guy.
No, you like that, huh? You like his personality?
Yeah, I do. Yes.
All right, let me put up a picture of him. This is you. You got all of those people in the whole world to choose, and this is what you've ended up with, Leanne Moll. Let me just show you what you're
going to choose the worst picture, obviously.
Of course. Of course I am. What, do you think I'm going to find a nice picture of him? I want you to suffer. This is how it's going to go. Let me just find hang on, there's an even worse one. Let me just change this quickly. Then
stop taking your time.
No, come on. This is great. This is Leanne's fantasy, everybody. This is who she's going to end up with if she was able to choose any aging rock star in the world. She would go with dun da da dun da da da. Look at that.
That's not even that bad.
That's an Ouroboros. That's what you chose, Leanne. That's what you wanted. That's what you're going to get.
Looking like a judgmental grand there.
Yeah. Steve Tyler. Wow. I would, you know, speaking of Tylers, Bonnie Tyler, she was out here not so long ago, wasn't she?
There you go.
Wasn't she around? She was in South Africa a couple of years ago. I'm telling you, she was in the country. Bonnie Tyler. She's probably 1,000 years old right now. I think I'd still, I would, you know who I'd like? Stevie Nicks. She's fantastic.
Yeah, she's awesome.
And she's so, even now, she's sexy, right? Stevie Nicks from Fleetwood Mac. Wow. Of course, the one I wouldn't go for is the one who went for me, and that was Jennifer Rush. You remember her?
Oh, yes. Because I am your lady.
Right. She was a super fan for a while. She used to like jump into the comments section during the show, and she would listen to us live from New York because she developed this. I don't know. Maybe it's because she had all this attention in the 80s, and then she suddenly didn't get any. But she was in South Africa, and we treated her.
What was that thing with her hiding behind the desk?
Yes, she crawled.
Something?
She was crawling around our offices at Cliff Central because she was afraid of the paparazzi. She said, and I mean, first of all, let me just say, Jennifer Rush, I love you, and God bless you because you made that week and a half that you were in this country so exciting for us. I mean, you're a proper mental patient, and it was so much fun to kind of tell people these stories and know that it actually happened. She came out here for an interview. We had a great discussion. She was on the air with me for an hour and a half, telling us all the stories of, like, you know, the 80s in America and the music scene. And like, she was a big, big deal in those days. She was a massive big deal. She had that big voice. You could say she was the Celine Dion of that era, right? In some ways, because she did all the big ballads and she had the big hair, and you know, she was a real star. And then she told us about all these other people that she'd met, and we had a really cool conversation. Anyway, so she obviously thought I was a much bigger deal than I am because I was doing my radio show, and then I also did Idols, which in America would make you a huge, huge star. I mean, like in America, if you've got your own radio show and you're on Idols, you're like Ryan Seacrest level fame. Or Simon Cowell level fame. So she obviously thought I was a big deal. And then she was on Idols with us because she came and made a guest appearance and sang. And I introduced her to all the other judges. So now she thinks I'm this really big deal. So I think she was very impressed with me. And maybe because I was polite and nice to her, she developed a bit of a connection, right? And then she would listen for weeks after that. She would listen to the show and like comment. And
yes.
She would go on and she'd be on my Facebook page. And, She became very political because it was also during the time when Donald Trump was president and she hated Donald Trump. So if I said anything nice about Donald Trump on the show, she'd lose her shit and like start commenting. And people would think it wasn't her because they'd say, well, what would the real Jennifer Rush be doing on like Gareth Cliff's Facebook page? But it was her. She was actually there commenting like every goddamn day. She obviously had nothing to do. And eventually I just said to her, like, you got to calm down. Or something. And then she lost her shit with me and she exited stage left. I've never heard from her again. But it is a hilarious story. And she did crawl around on her hands and knees at the studio trying to avoid the paparazzi. She was properly crazy. I love her. I think that kind of story is just, it makes her so much more interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. I haven't changed my mind really, but I think another old rocker that would be way up there would be Lenny Kravitz.
Yeah, Lenny Kravitz. Oh, well, listen, there are very few women in the world who'd say no to Lenny Kravitz even now because,
yeah,
I mean, didn't he and Nicole Kidman date for a while? And she was like, it was just after she'd broken up with Tom Cruise. And she must have been like, oh, Lenny, come here. You're a real man. And you're not as weird.
Sexy beast.
Yeah, and you're not like weird Tom Cruise, that like dwarf with an issue and Scientology and all that shit. I mean, listen, don't get me wrong. Tom Cruise, if you've seen the latest Top Gun, the guy has not aged. If whatever Scientology is doing to him, I want some. I'm going to go and join. Because if you can look that young, I don't care if you're like getting the blood of infants pumped into you every morning. Whatever he's doing.
He's got a lot of vigor.
That guy is, he looks incredible, Tom Cruise. How old is he? 60? Phenomenal.
Oh, at least.
Yeah, phenomenal. It's great. I just love it. Well done to Tom Cruise. And yes, Leanne, Lenny Kravitz is a good one. I'm sure that we can get him, his fame is dropping year by year. So eventually he'll be at a level where he's accessible to you and me. We can reach
Tom
him.
Cruise
we'll get hold of him at a party
and
I'll introduce you. I'll say, Lenny, you know, we've had a couple of drinks together. Lenny, let me introduce you to Leanne. She's put you on her list. I know it's a great honor for you, Lenny. And here she is. She's ready. She's ready for you now. That's what we'll do.
Leanne Moll on a plate.
Yeah. Audrey says, I drove past Enya's castle in Dublin. Oof. That's amazing. Enya has a castle.
Love her.
That's a life, huh? Nicole Kidman is insufferable. I wouldn't fuck her with you. That's so rude, Carl. Really? What a rude. Carl, you're really on a mad tear this morning of being rude. And I'm going to block you for the last 5 minutes of the show. Let's get to George Meany. Hello, George. We missed you last week. Where were you?
Oh, George.
People want to know, George.
Hello, free man.
They want to know that this is part of their lives, George. You're an important thing for us on a Friday. And if you're not there, we don't know how to start our weekend properly.
Well, Gareth, you know, fortunately or unfortunately, I have a company to look after, and
sure,
sometimes crises come up and you have to deal with them. So
that's okay, George.
Yeah,
that's okay. We forgive you, but don't leave us in the lurch again. We need to know. We need to know how to wrap up our Friday morning. So, George, we've obviously got an overflow. We've got an overflow of stuff from last week. I'm sure you've got plenty to tell us. Where do we begin?
Well, we begin by, I don't know if you've ever sold, and this has got nothing to do with what I wanted to say, but I'm going to tell you anyway. I don't know if you've ever gone and had to sell an old iPhone or traded in at the Apple store. So the other week I went and I sold my old iPhone because I got another one.
Yeah.
And Apple won't give you the money. They'll give you a voucher. So you have to spend the money in the Apple store, which is a little bit annoying, but hey, one of those things. But I used the voucher to get two things. And I'm telling you, I now can't live without these two things. And the first is this magnetic battery.
Wow. Show us the magnetic battery. Does that recharge your phone?
Yes. And it's got no cables. It just magnetically attaches to your phone.
And how much charge do you get out of that? Can you fill your phone up from 0 to 100?
Yes, you can. So I've had my phone down to under 10%, and this thing just fills it right back up.
Shisa mazamban.
And the other thing is this little magnetic wallet. Also, just magnetically attaches to your phone.
George, now I'm going to have to go and sell some shit and go to the iStore. Thanks very much. You've ruined my Friday morning. I had plans, and now I've got to go and buy stuff.
It's like those two things are just so useful. And the thing about this wallet is it has a GPS little chip in it. So you can, if it gets detached from your phone, the phone tells you, and and you can track it. So very useful.
That is fantastic. George, this is very good. Why don't you just become our tech guy instead of just the car guy? You can actually help us with all the tech.
I found two things that, you know, are now constantly carried around with me.
I love
it.
So I like this. This is very good.
So, but onto car news. So, you know, we have this issue with lithium in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, besides the way that it's mined, which is questionable, we have this issue with lithium. And
yes.
What Californians didn't know was that there is this lake called the Salton Sea. And that's what the Salton Sea looks like.
All right, let me put that up on the main screen.
The Salton Sea.
All right.
Near to California, on the border of Mexico. Apparently, it's not pretty. Apparently, the dust that blows off this this lake is toxic.
Ooh.
So people are actually suffering from health issues because of the dust that blows off the lake. But what it is found to have is an abundant supply of lithium.
That's fantastic.
This lake is reduced in capacity or whatever, apparently the amount of lithium on this lake can power America's electric vehicles for a couple of decades.
Oh my goodness.
Lithium is terrific. There are two main uses for it, and they're both very, very valuable uses. The first one is that certain lithium salts are used in psychiatry. So they help people with bipolar disorder and so on. So lithium is a prescribed medicine for psychiatric disorders. And that's one use of it. And lithium is just above sodium on the periodic table, so it has very similar properties in some ways. The other thing about lithium is what you point out, George, that it's used in batteries. And it's used because, A, it's very light. It is actually the lightest solid on Earth, lithium. It weighs very little.
A, it's very light. Yes. A, it's very...
Very nice, Leanne. A battery joke. We haven't had one of those for a long time. What a good battery joke. So, yes, the problem is with mining lithium, as you point out, that it's not terribly good for the environment. So you get the upshot of electric vehicles, which are better for the environment, but the downside, which is that lithium mining is extremely environmentally disastrous for whatever area it happens in. But, you know, typical. This would happen in California where you've got all these greenies. Watch them stop people from mining lithium, the dummies, because they don't understand that it's going to be used in batteries, which is probably a good use after all. Other thing about lithium batteries, though, is disposing of them is a bit difficult afterwards.
And that's where the environmental impact is problematic.
Yes.
In many instances.
Correct.
I still maintain electric vehicles. While I think the downstream effect of electric vehicles is the environmental impact or saving the environment. The real reason we should be doing electric vehicles is not because the primary reason should be the environment. The primary reason is it's just simply better technology, lasts longer, and
George, are you telling me you're a fan of electric vehicles? I would never have guessed.
No, you would never have guessed that.
Never. I mean, we've only spent every Friday morning together for like the last 2 years, and you're telling me this now?
Surprise, surprise.
I feel like I didn't know you. Unreal.
Well, let's move on to something more, a little more dirty, and that is this gentleman. No, Leanne, we're not going. This gentleman used a 730D. That's a 730D BMW. Which is
a 730D. I thought that was Leanne's bra size. Okay, sorry.
I wish. It's way over
730D BMW. This gentleman drove this BMW for 1,600 kilometers, which is a record. Across London to Madrid, And it's the first time that 1,600 kilometers has been achieved on a single tank of fuel in that 7 feet.
Wow.
And that is the point of the story is, you know, while everybody is going EV, 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 we've got a fuel price issue. And what the fuel price issue is actually doing is having people move to dirtier cars, which are diesel and much more efficient. I mean, diesel engines are much more efficient than petrol engines. And this gentleman proved that you can do 1,609 kilometers on a single tank of fuel in that 7 feet.
That's phenomenal. That's a hell of a lot of duration. Don't tell people that because then they'll all be buying diesel cars. And I don't want the diesel price to go up as a result of that because I'm driving one at the moment. George, I noticed on your Auto Trader podcast that you guys were talking about these fuel additives, these things that you put in. And obviously, I'm going to encourage people to go and listen to the whole episode, but you've gone into quite some detail about whether or not these things are a scam. Oh, Leanne's going to take another pill. Whether these things are a scam or whether they're not. And you really, it's worth listening to the Auto Trader podcast if you haven't already to figure out whether you're going to save money on these things or whether they're just a gimmick.
Yeah, I mean, I go and listen to the podcast to get the detail. But in that episode, we get into detail about whether additives are really worth it or not. In, you know, putting liquids in your oil or liquids in your fuel. And in the part in the Auto Trader podcast that we just recorded yesterday, we go into a lot of detail on car condition reports. So, is it worth going to get your car checked out before you buy one?
All right, very good. Very good.
So go and have a look at the podcast. And then I suppose very lastly...
Let me just throw this in first, George. Sorry. Clint from the Val says, George, speaking of useful, I discovered that I can get extremely accurate information and valuations of vehicles on your Auto Trader website. Game changer. Ta-da! We've been telling you about this, Clint. You poop all for a long time. But there it is. Nice compliment for you, George, and your team.
Thank you. Appreciate that. And yes, Clint, you can go get a valuation. We find that those valuations are within 3% of what the cars sell for in most instances.
Wow.
So they're pretty accurate.
Excellent.
We think they're pretty accurate.
Excellent.
And then very lastly, Gareth, a German court, trust the Germans, a German court issued a fine or made a gentleman that ran a red light pay a fine of 350 euros, which is 5,936 rand, for running a red light in an SUV. But the moral of the story, or the crux of the story, is that the regular fine for running a red light was 200 euros, 3,300 rand.
Yep.
And the reason the court said that they wanted this guy to pay almost double the fine was because he drove an SUV, and their argument was that SUVs are more dangerous to pedestrians.
Because they're bigger.
Because they're higher up. And this guy had to pay a bigger fine. Wouldn't you pay a bigger fine because you drive a bigger car?
Sounds a bit arbitrary.
I think you should pay bigger everything. It's like the car wash. You pay more if you have an SUV.
Leanne, just because you have a tiny little car doesn't mean you need to take out all of your anger on the people with bigger cars. All right, that's outrageous. Just stop it. All right.
Damn.
Borge, very good to have you back. We were worried that that we wouldn't see you for another week, and you will be back next Friday, I should hope, with even more. And don't miss the Auto Trader show, which you can actually listen to right now. Go to cliffcentral.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We will see you on Monday. As, thanks for a lovely morning. I hope you have a happy weekend. I'm going to go and tidy up some more. Hooray. How lucky am I?
Yay.
It's my favorite thing to do. Borge, anything fun happening this weekend with you? Are you using planes, trains, boats? What are we going to be using as a form of transportation this weekend?
Well, I can't fly this weekend because my pilot's license expired and I haven't got it back from the Civil Aviation Authority yet, so...
Dang and
anyway,
blast. Hey, by the way, guess what I'm going to collect today, George, while you're talking about these things? They called me yesterday. My driver's license is ready. So I'm going to go and collect that. Ta-da.
Oh, wow.
Remember I told you I had a great experience at that driving test place? And then they called me yesterday.
Are you going to drive to go and get your driver's license?
No, Leanne. I'll use my scooter. What do you think's going to happen? Oh, you must be the brains in the business. That's right. I'm going to drive there. All right. Cheers, everybody. We will see you on Monday. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye. CliffCentral.com.